Man, good evening. How you guys doing tonight? It's about 25 other people say, ooh. Other 30 was like, yeah. But amen, man, it is just good to be here. There's a lot of great things going on in the kingdom of God. We just heard from the announcements. We heard as far as our, International Sunday. If that doesn't fire you, I tell you, this will be me and my wife's first International Sunday here. So we are excited about it. I saw some of the dishes there, so I'm making sure Saturday I'm not eating nothing. I'm making sure I visit every city that there is out there for a dish. So just know I am coming prepared. I know John said bring a cooler for ice, but we bringing coolers for food. So just know when I visit, that's what it's about. Amen. But no, I'm grateful tonight to get a chance to talk about God's word and prayerfully how it can help change all of us. And so before we jump into God's word, let's open up with a word of prayer. Okay. Mighty Father, we thank you so much for today, God. We thank you for the strength and energy that you've given us. God, we thank you for the love that you shower us with. We thank you for the relationships, Father, that you allow us to have in your kingdom, God. Father, we thank you that you would use us, mere sinners, wretched people, God, to do incredible things, Father. God, we pray that a ton of our friends and family will be out for your international service, Father. God, we pray that they will get a glimpse of who you are. And Father God, I pray that it's used to glorify you, God. Help us to continue to celebrate all the great things that's going on, Father. The baptisms, the serving, the loving, the growth that you are allowing us to experience and to see, God. Help us not to take it for granted, and God, to truly give you the glory, honor, and praise that's due you. Father, we love you. We thank you. All these things we ask and pray in your holy and precious Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 So, this is kind of loud. So, what I wanted to talk tonight about is you and I. We've been talking a lot about transformation. We've been talking a lot about one another relationships. And so tonight, I want to dig a little bit deeper and talk about you and I and what does that really mean when we hear one another relationships, when we hear you and I, what starts to process in our minds when we hear that? Because when I hear you and I, when I'm talking to my wife, I think one thing. When I hear you and I, when I'm talking to my children, I think another thing. When I hear you and I, when I'm talking to brothers and sisters, sometimes I can think something completely different. And so, and I'm sure I'm probably not the only one who goes through those stages. And so tonight, we're going to look at you and I and see what God says about you and I through his scriptures. Amen. Oh, there we go. First slide, if you guys would be turning your Bibles over to Colossians 3 and verse 13. In Colossians 3 and verse 13, the scripture reads, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against one another, forgive as the Lord forgave you." And that's huge, because isn't it hard sometimes to forgive as the Lord forgave? You know, sometimes for us, you and I, we forgive according to our day. You know, if I had a great day, it may be a little bit more easier for me to forgive you. It may be a little bit more easier for me to accept that you may have done something to me. But if I had a bad day, it's easy for me to remember everything that you've done to me. And it's a little bit harder to forgive. But notice what the scripture says. The scripture is very clear, brothers and sisters. It says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Wow, this is kind of loud. God is very clear when he talks to us about forgiving one another. And if there's ever going to be a you and I, there's got to be some forgiveness in that mix. Because you and I, we will do things and we will say things to hurt each other's feelings. We will say things to make each other feel bad. We will say things sometimes unintentionally. But the results is still the same. I still feel just as bad as when you said it, as if you said it intentionally. And God says that, man, we must forgive as God forgave us. Now, I don't know about you, but I had a lot to be forgiven of, a whole lot to be forgiven of. And I remembered I wanted God to forgive me of all of it. I didn't want God to just forgive me of the cursing, the lying and the stealing. I wanted him to forgive me of the anger, the fits of rage, the pride. I wanted all that to be forgiven, right? And God is saying the same thing to you and I. He says, no. Don't just forgive them for the way they talk to you. He says, forgive them for everything. Forgive them the way I forgave you. And brothers and sisters, as we take this journey with our, you know, one another relationships, we have to understand how important that is. Forgiveness. It is an essential piece in our walk with God. Because we wouldn't be able to walk with God if he didn't first forgive. So how can we walk with each other if we don't first forgive? You guys with me? God said over in Ephesians 4, turn there with me real quick. In Ephesians 4, we're going to look in verse 32. Verse 32, very simple scripture, but it is so impactful and powerful. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other just as Christ God forgave you. And I tell you, this saying right here is so very true. How you make others feel about themselves say a lot about you. Because how we make people feel about themselves, it's really a reflection of who we are. When people walk away from you, when people walk away from a conversation with you, how do they feel? Do they feel beat down? Do they feel discouraged? Do they feel uplifted? Do they feel loved and believed in? Do they feel like, man, I'm ready to run through a brick wall for God? How do you make people feel? Because remember, this is about you and I. It's not just about that person. It's not even just about me. It's about both of us. So in these one another relationships, we have to take some responsibility about how we make people feel. Because it is a direct correlation towards us. Because when we are close to God, people are going to hear it, they're going to feel it, and they're going to see it. And it should come out. You know, I tell everybody, I love basketball. When I play basketball all day, most people are going to know about it. You're going to see it because I'm probably going to be all sweaty. Going to smell it. Probably won't be the best smell in the world. But you're going to hear it because I'm going to talk about, man, 20 years ago, I would have done this or I would have done that. And you're going to know where I've been. As soon as I walk in the door, you will know, wow, Tony's been shooting ball. Well, can people say that about you and your relationship with God when you walk in that door? Wow, Tony's been with God. Look how he's encouraging the brothers and sisters. Look how he's lifting them up. Look how he's spurring them on. Can people see that in me? And if not, then that's an area that I need to grow in. And I'm going to need help from my brothers and sisters to help me be the man of God that he called me to be. Being kind to each other goes a long way. We never know what people's days are like at work. Not everybody has a job where you just love going into work and everybody there is just so kind and so great. You know, I'll be honest. I feel like I have that job. I tell everybody, you know, I love working for God. Because there's no greater boss. And so, but in saying that, you know, there's many that, you know, go to work and your physical boss there is not as loving. It's not as kind. It's not as forgiving. You have a boss who scrutinizes everything you do. And some of you guys are looking around because you may have disciples who work for you. And you're like, I hope they aren't talking about me. But if they are, repent.
Amen.
Just change. You don't have to be that way. But I say all that to say, brothers and sisters, is that being kind to each other goes a long way. That's something that we haven't talked about in the church in a long, long, long time. Being kind to each other. How does that look? Now, we can share it with our kids all the time. You need to be nice to your sister. You need to be nice to your brother. But do we say it to each other enough? Do we help each other be kind in that way? Are we asking our brothers and sisters, not in a surfacey, superficial way, hey, how was your day? Oh, it was okay. Oh, cool. And we keep going. Find out, well, what was cool about it? Or what was hard about it? That's the being kind. That's the being considerate. Let's find out. So as you and I travel this road together, we're able to know how we may spur one another along, how we can really build each other up. And if you are the one being asked, it's okay to be vulnerable if you've had a bad day. It's okay to be open if you didn't have the most spiritual day. That's what we're here for. God wants us to be able to lift each other up, to help each other, and also to speak the truth in love. You know, I appreciate the relationships that I have in this church. Some go back well over 20 years, and some I'm just making. But the ones I'm just making are just as impactful and encouraging as the ones I've had for 20 years. Because it's a two-way street. It's not a hierarchy system. And I love that about God's church. Because believe it or not, now it says it in the Bible, but you know how sometimes we can read something in the Bible and think, okay, well, we'll have to see when we get there. You guys realize whatever we loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Y'all heard that anywhere in the Bible before? Say any... Somewhere in the Bible, it talks about that. Do you guys realize that what we have in our church is what's supposed to be in heaven? So how we act here and what we do here is what we're going to do there. It says we're going to celebrate. We're going to rejoice. No more crying, no more sadness. Everybody sounds great. And I tell you, that's encouraging. Because I don't know if y'all heard Steve McKenna sing, but in heaven, he's going to sound like an angel. Steve ain't going to never let me speak no more. But I tell you, you know, guys, we laugh at this, but do we really take that serious? Do we really realize, wow, this is what I have to look forward to? So why aren't we living it here now? Why aren't we coming in here when Ron starts singing, Man, I tell Perry every week, man, I love his son because he gives it his all. Like, this is the last song I'm going to sing. He gives it that every Sunday, whenever you see him. I love that because you know what? That's how we should be. We should have that same heart. Like, man, God, I'm singing because you're right here with us. I could imagine Jesus sitting in here. And how would he be in our fellowship? Better question is, how would our fellowship be if he was sitting in here? I guarantee we probably have a lot more people sitting up clapping and giving it their all. But guys, he is in here. Let's not forget that. Turn with me over to James 1. In James 1, we're going to pick up in verse 2. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. That is a tough statement to really understand, because the Bible says that we should be considering, you know, these different trials as a pure joy. Now, I don't know about you, but anytime I go through something, it's never joy to me. When it's hard, it's not joy. I tell you what joy is. Joy is getting an income tax check that I didn't expect. Joy is getting a phone call from the power company saying, hey, you don't owe this month's bill. Joy is seeing my kids come home with all A's. You know, to me, that's, hey, I'm joyous. But we get joy confused with happy. See, the joy the Bible is talking about doesn't come from our circumstances. It doesn't. And so what happens is, because of a circumstance, it makes us happy. And we can transfer those feelings into our one another relationships. You did something that I like, so this is the best thing since sliced bread, and I'm happy now. But if you do something that I don't like, then I'm not happy anymore. And that's not what the scripture is talking about here. This saying, I didn't even really understand it fully until today as I was reading it. It says, it's funny because we ask God to change our situation, not knowing he put us in the situation to change us. God puts us with people in our lives to help us. Believe it or not. So that one person that you think, God, all we do is clash. Do you realize God have them in your life for a reason? He is trying to help you to mature and not be lacking in anything, as the scripture says. But what happens is that we look at this as a trial. Oh, I guess I got to go through this period of testing with this brother or this sister. And God is saying, no, you're missing it. That's not why they're there. They're not there to make your life miserable. They're not there to make you uncomfortable. I put them in your life to make you complete. There is something that you're lacking. So when we choose to not give our hearts or not give ourselves in one another relationships, we essentially are telling God, God, I choose to be incomplete. I don't want to be made whole. I'm going to figure this out on my own. And God is saying, wait a minute. No, Tony. I have somebody here that can help you with that. But you know how when you want help with something And my kids, I love the example of my children. We try to help them with homework. Now, of course, yeah, we've been out of school 20 plus years, so what do we know? We both have degrees, but what do we know when it comes to our eighth grader and our fourth grader? We don't know what we're talking about when it comes to homework. We're just mom and dad. And so you try to help them, but they want help another way. Well, no. You can't show me like this. It has to be like this. And as parents, sometimes we can get a little agitated, to say the least, right? You know, we can get a little hot under the collar. But we transfer that same emotion into our relationships with one another. When we're trying to help someone and maybe they aren't seeing it the way you see it, we can get a little hot under the collar. We can get a little agitated. And God is saying, whoa, wait a minute. That's not why they're there. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters. And I love the new NIV version. It says brothers and sisters. Old NIV just said brothers. Brothers and sisters. God is trying to make sure that we all understand what's taking place here. He says, whenever you face trials of many kinds, he didn't just say one kind. He said of many kinds, which means these trials could come at home. They can come at work. And guess where else they can come? Right here in church. These trials can come. And it says we will face them. So it's not like we can do this, just turn our back and hope it goes away. Because eventually when we turn around, guess what happened? There go that trial again. God says when you face these trials, understand there's a reason for it. He says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Brothers and sisters, this isn't a sprint. This isn't a sprint to get to all the great events that the church have going on. We're in this for the long haul. We're going to run this race until we get to heaven. So God is essentially letting us know, wait a minute, whoa. It's about persevering. Because in a race, you can get pretty tired. Run a marathon. You can get pretty tired halfway through that marathon. Me, probably way before halfway through that marathon. But he says, wait a minute. Persevere. He says, I'm trying to teach you how to persevere. Because it's so easy to have a bump and want to ignore this brother, this sister, or not want to talk to this brother or sister, not want to fellowship with them because of old hurts, because old wounds have been opened. It's hard to even trust each other because of old hurts, because of past hurts, because maybe the person that did or said it, maybe they were wrong. But have you forgiven them? And God is saying we have to persevere in this. You can't let it happen one time and throw your hands up. He says, as a church, guys, we have to persevere. Because we're going to hurt each other over and over and over again. That's going to happen. Not intentionally, prayerfully. But it may happen. And if it does, are we willing to persevere with each other? You and me. Are we going to persevere and say, hey, you know what, brother, I forgive you, but let's talk about this so that prayerfully it doesn't happen again. And let's deal with each other's heart and not that situation so that we can help each other be better Christians. He goes on to say, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Now, I don't know about you, but I lack a lot of things. Hair, you know, just a lot of things I lack. But God says, if I persevere, he says, I won't be lacking in anything. He's not talking about right here. He wants us to persevere so we can get to heaven. Because there, it won't matter if I have a bald head or not. You know, God is saying, Tony, persevere. In these relationships, persevere. In your worship to me, persevere. Because there's times when I don't feel like worshiping. Persevere. It says, Tony, then you will not be lacking in anything. Brothers and sisters, we will be complete. Now, for some of us, that word complete is going to mean something different. Maybe complete for you means my kids became Christians. Maybe for you it means I got the job I wanted. Maybe for you it means I got the house. I am content. I'm good now. That's not the complete he's talking about here. That's not the complete that James was trying to share with us. See, Jesus wants us to be complete in our love. He wants us to not be lacking in that. Because if we are going to have one another relationships, if we are going to be able to spur each other on, if we're going to be able to speak the truth in love to each other, we have to be willing to persevere. Because this thing, this journey that we're on, it doesn't end because we have International Sunday. That's going to be a great time, great fellowship. I'm looking forward to it. Great food, all this stuff. But it doesn't end there. And so we have to realize, wait a minute, hey, this goes until we get to heaven. So I can't let down. I can't not encourage my brother or my sister. I cannot allow my brother or my sister to fall and I don't run over there and help them up. Right. Opposed to look at them down and keep going. I want to close in Micah. In Micah 6. In Micah 6 and verse 8, it says, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Everything that we've talked about tonight, everything that we've been talking about is summed up here. This is what God requires of us. God wants us to act justly and love him. As God does, as we do that, God is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever hope for. God is able to use us in ways that we never thought we could be used. God is able to allow this church to be a beacon, not just for Gwinnett, not just for Atlanta, but for the world. God is saying, man, there's so much more to my love than you can imagine. Don't think small scale. God is bigger than that. Whatever we can think of, God is so much more bigger than that. And God is telling his people, hey, I've shown you. We've seen it. We've seen God's love. We've seen God's mercy. We've seen God's grace. And what does the Lord require? To act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. To God be the glory.